Right, all right, all right. We back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are now about to experience the whole new lifestyle and the whole new conversation of Beyond the 18. Do I sound professional, bro?
That sounded a bit creepy, to be honest.
I was aiming for, you know, like, damn, this was like professional, you know, like, sacara. Tim Howard, the from where's
commentator?
He from? No, but where's he from? Tim Howard, I think he's with Sky Sports. Yeah, he's with Sky Sports. But anyways, welcome back to episode, and let's hope that Alan here doesn't upload the same episode.
Oh man, that's so bad. I uploaded the recent episode again.
On behalf of Alan and Beyond the 18,
we're sorry. <about that. laughs> Oh my god.
So yes, welcome back to Beyond the 18 here with the host. Alan Serna, the man, and with your boy, Santiago. And today's topics are going to be very interesting because you, as a Manchester United fan, bro, you know, it affects you. And me as a Liverpool that we were, you know, going to clash yesterday. It's supposed to be like a big game.
It was a big... And
what happened was just, I mean...
It was unfortunate.
That should show that, you know, there's limits. You know, people could only take so much, and fans could only take so much. And, you know, it was a big wake-up call to the people upstairs in Old Trafford, right?
It's unfortunate, but at times it's something that's needed.
For our folks that don't know what we're talking about, my man Alan here is going to give you a little brief summary of what happened yesterday. What was supposed to happen was supposed to be Manchester versus Liverpool.
Correct.
And it did not. Reason why, Alan?
There was what started off as a protest. Okay, so the Man U Liverpool game was scheduled to be at 8:30 a.m., right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And a few hours prior to the beginning of the match... Now, let's remember, England is, what, 8 hours ahead of us?
Yeah, something absolutely, like
that.
Yes.
So, out there, it's already evening. And so, the Manchester United fans, were there any Liverpool fans there?
No, I don't think so. What my understanding was that, you know how, obviously, a home game?
Yes. It was Old Trafford.
Yeah, the home fans, you know, they like to get in there early, you know, to receive
the away
team to, you know, sometimes to rat at them, to
create pressure.
Yeah, exactly. My question is, do you know if it was fans that had bought a ticket, you know, to watch the game? Because, I mean, they were inside, and that's when they started, you know, they just started jumping
on
the pitch.
No, so you still can't go in the pitch to watch the game. What happened was that they were protesting outside the gates and they broke into the stadium.
Where was security at?
Don't know, but they broke in and...
Or did they put the Barcelona back line to be security guard on Old Trafford?
They put Piqué outside.
Jesus Christ, but okay.
And so they break in into Old Trafford, Field of Dreams, as they call it.
I call the field of shits, but I mean.
Oh, okay.
Okay. But my bad, bro. Go ahead.
But and you see commentators doing the pregame commenting and whatnot on TV.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you see them turn to the side, and there's like a flock. It's like a flock of sheep when they're running. You know, Jesus. But these are the people going into the stadium, and. The protesting part, I get it, until they broke into it. At that point, I think that's taking it
to heard, another level. Is it true? I mean, I'm not really, like, know the full story of this.
Okay.
Because I woke up with a hangover on Sunday. I was supposed to watch the game with Jose.
Okay.
But I slept in until, like, 10, and you know, I missed it.
So you didn't miss much anyways?
No, pretty much. But I missed, like, the whole commotion, you know, like, what was going on. And I wake up and I see, because I get push notifications, right? You know, I stay alerted, you know, with apps and, you know, like my teams and everything. And I saw that the game
was canceled.
Postponed, you know, canceled. And as a supporter, you know, a Manchester United supporter, Do you believe the fans are in the right? I mean, if my question to you is, if you were over there, you know, present, you were England, you were born in Manchester United, raised and to cherish Old Trafford, you know, GG, go, man. Man, you, would you have been one of those fans to go in and protest, you know?
I would have been a fan to protest on the outside of the gates.
Not in the inside.
It's because it's dip. At once you break into a place and you go and do that, at that point it's not protesting anymore.
It's so
it's vandalizing.
Vandalizing. And I mean, why would you vandalize your home, right?
Exactly. They broke camera gear of broadcasters and all that kind of stuff, you know.
I could understand the point behind that though, because I mean, who's gonna pay for that? Well, obviously
the owners,
right? And my understanding is that they want the
owners. It was a whole thing. See, so Man United have had a big issue with the Glazers, which are the owners of Man United.
American owners,
right. Yes. And we need to remember that a lot of American billionaires own some of the wealthiest English clubs. I think Liverpool too. Arsenal. Yeah.
They're owned by the Fenway.
I know Arsenal is owned by American.
Liverpool are owned by Fenway. You know the owners of the Boston and all that crap. They're owned by all that shit.
The owner of the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, exactly. So
and so this was like their protest. They haven't liked the Glazers or big money owning their clubs or any clubs for like the past 10, 12 years.
But what's wrong with it? Manchester's doing good. They actually have been on a very hot streak. Like, what does it have to do? Like, prices, ticket prices? Do you know that? But what's affecting the fans? Because, I mean, gameplay, this is like the best Manchester United I've seen in years since like Sir Alex Ferguson has left.
Correct.
So is it much more like how we were discussing last week about the ESL? Is it more like economic?
It's more of a protest against billionaires being greedy with wanting more money and forgetting about the culture,
which would make sense
behind the club, and whatnot. Like, I think the biggest impact in terms of a message in this quote unquote protest was a Man U fan holding up a sign that I have here in front of me. It says, "You can buy our club, but you can't buy our heart and soul." So for them, it's like, it's the owners aren't putting the fans into consideration, only their pockets.
Which sucks, right?
Yes.
I mean, as a fan, absolutely, you know, it sucks, but like,
and what sucks, bro, is that Man United, if you take it back to its roots, it was made of blue collared workers.
Yeah. Just like any other professional team, how I told you, how it
evolved. The game evolutionized.
From, you know, gents to, you know, the hard-working class that they were, like, I don't want to work, you know, I'm good at what I do, I want to charge good for playing soccer, and I know that I could be way better than you, you know, so I can understand that, you know, yet again, that plays part of the money-wise, you know, like, like, let's talk about Americans owning Premier League teams, right? And they want to run how they run things, like, let's say the NBA.
Like, they run franchises
over here. The NFL, you know, the NHL. That money machines. Money, like, you know, you talk about big sports like the NHL. Not the NHL, but the NFL and the NBA. Tickets are, Jesus, for like, you know, matches are just incredibly insane. When in reality, for a football match or soccer, you know, the tickets are not that expensive unless it's a big, big, big game.
Brother, when I went to Italy and I watched Roma, I paid $15.
And you had good seats. You had beautiful seats, bro. I saw you. I was watching when you were posting it and live stuff and like that, you know. Like, I saw it and I'm like, those were amazing seats. $15, you know. When right here, you know, to go to an NBA game, you know, upstairs, like, all the way, like, up to, like, you know, no man's land, it's going to be, like, you know, minimum 100-something, you know, 200. You ask to go to an NFL game, you know, tickets, you're looking around prices, like, between the 300s, 500s.
Put it this way, here, cash is king.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's insane, and maybe that's what they're trying to do over there, and, you know, like, you have a supporter that, it's, you know, a season holder and everything, and prices are going up, you know, beer's going up, you know, food and all that. I could understand, you know, like, why they want to protest and...
Yes.
But I just feel like... like, this is a message, you know, to the ownership of Manchester United and probably to all the...
I think it's a message to football in general.
Yeah, you know, like, take it easy, you know, come back. You know, don't forget that, you know.
Like, the sport is here for a reason.
The fans are the... Like, to be honest, bro, owners just own the club, but who runs it? Fans.
Yep. I mean, without fans, there are no clubs.
Exactly. You know, you would just have 11... guys, just 22 guys on the pitches running around. Like right now, you ask players, what made the difference between, you know, a game, the fans or you guys? And obviously the fans have a lot of play. Now they're playing without fans and you could tell the game is different, you know.
Yeah.
The fans give it that vibe. And I mean, as I saw some videos that my friend was showing me, and then me looking up right now, you know, it says that it must have been a serious, because you had four, security guards or I think police officers that were injured, you know, and for that to happen, you know, it must have been like some crazy protests.
Mm-hmm. And, here's it makes me laugh at how stupid some people can be. Some of the people that did this, like, they're putting themselves on their Instagram stories, recording, like, an open invitation.
Oh, yeah, for an open investigation, right? To get,
to, like, oh, here, I arrest me or whatever, you know. Wouldn't, you know.
Wouldn't that be the same when people stormed the Capitol?
And any kind of thing, you know. It's just kind of funny me seeing that people do these things and they expose themselves in these situations.
Yeah, I mean, those are people who clearly don't give a fuck, you know.
Yeah, but, now, obviously this was an important match for Liverpool.
Not so much, because, I mean,
you guys are still
in contention. I think it was a break for us. Because I think, I mean...
So you think it's something that helped, in a way?
Yes, definitely, because...
But don't you guys have a pretty packed schedule?
We do, but we needed that break because we had just been coming from, you know, our form. It's garbage, you know. Getting knocked out of Champions League, going in, losing matches, keeping a hot streak of losing streaks at Anfield, you know, getting points, minimum points, like... 1 point, 3 points, and then dropping like 15, 16 points. I feel like you guys would have run amok over us in a point of view. And I had it. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to say it when I'm talking trash or anything, but talking football, you know, talking like statistic-wise. And Manchester United is on a hot streak, bro. Europa League killing it. You know, and
for the sure, Premier most League going to be the champions of the Europa League.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. You know, I think it would cut Liverpool a break to go visit Old Trafford, you know, to face a Manchester United that's coming in hot, and then a Liverpool that Mane is missing, Salah's missing, you know, where are they on the pitch?
Firmino
is like, you know, that down form that he has been struggling with. Diego Jota, after that injury, I thought he was going to come back with firepower, and, you know, you could tell the difference.
Yeah.
Gigi doesn't wanting to be in the squad no more, Fabinho not. You know, Liverpool, I think it was a break for us, bro. Because I honestly expected, like, a score like a 3-1.
So, if you're Jurgen Klopp, how do you take this?
Bro, if I was
Jurgen Klopp... Because he's an emotional guy.
Jurgen Klopp, knowing he would, he would keep it, you know, steady, you know, not try to mess up with ownership, because he knows that if he throws at the ownership, his club is owned by ownership, and, you know, he's obviously a people pleaser. He knows that if he throws at the people are going to be like, oh, well, I thought you always supported the fan, you know. I think he would just take it as passive and take it as a break, you know. I was like, okay, you know, it sucks, obviously, because everybody was anticipating that match. Everybody you know, wanted it to happen. You know, two Giants going at it, rivalry, you know. And, but I mean, I think in my eyes, club was in a way like thankful, you know, like, okay, we're going to take this, you know, and we're going to analyze the situation. Yeah. You know, I think this was actually bad for Manchester United.
I mean, Manchester United, their only objective yesterday would have been to make it one more week longer to crown Man City champions, right?
Absolutely. Because it's given. Man City are the
champions. That's a done deal.
Yeah, that's a done deal, you know. But
but you guys are still in contention for fourth place, no?
That's what I'm scared of, you know, going back to Europa League, which since Klopp has been there, when he took charge of Liverpool...
You guys have always been in UCL.
Wrong. We have lost, if you're not mistaken, back in like 2014, 15, Klopp's first year in Liverpool, he had inherited a Liverpool that was in the Europa League the following season. And in that Europa League run, he took them to a final that they faced against Sevilla, and they lost. It was like trash as like the refs were totally against them. Like, no light, handballs not called, clear handballs. Sevilla played a hell of a match. Liverpool played I think the final score was like 3-2 or 3-1, bro, or something like that. And that was the last time that they have been in the Europa League.
Yeah, that's what I meant. That's
yeah.
Klopp, since Klopp has come in, he's only qualified them for UCL.
UCL winning, taking them to finals twice, losing one, winning one. And, you know, it feels weird. It feels like, damn, you know, are we going back to that?
Or are we even going to go to Europa?
See, and what sucks is that Klopp knows that he only has until next season, bro. Like, 2021, that's his contract. He hasn't extended, you know. So, it's like, is he really putting, like, so much his of like, to try to save the squad? We have no depth in our squad, bro. You know, injuries just killed us. I feel like fans not being at Anfield played a big part, because the supporters were with Klopp 100, bro. Like, you would see those games in literally...
No, anywhere he goes, he's loved.
Exactly. So, I mean, Liverpool's only objective right now is, you know, not to lose any, not to be dropping points, not to, you know, be embarrassing like a championship squad, bro. Like, because that is a championship squad.
I mean,
squad,
at this point, it's no lower than fifth place, right? The objective.
Exactly.
Because you want some, if not the UCL, the Europa League.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and like my little brother-in-law says, you know, being in the Europa League and being a team like you are, like Liverpool, like Manchester United, you know, it's a, like, that's a free trophy. And it's true, because if Manchester United doesn't win this trophy, it's going to be a total failure of the season. So it's like, you know, I mean, them wrecking Roma 6-2, bro, after being down 2-1, that was incredible.
That was bad.
That was amazing. And Roma is not such a crappy... Roma is Roma, you know. It's a good team. They have good players. They have a good depth. And, you know, overall, I just feel like this, you know, scandal that happened, in my point of view, it helped... Liverpool, you know, to relax.
Temporarily wise, though, no.
To kill that momentum. Because, I mean, now you're thinking the players. Like, you as a, let's say you as a fan, you know, like, couldn't be there. And you just watch games and you keep updated and you see that what's happened. And let's say you woke up early, 7:30, you know, at 8. You're ready for the game. And you see that. It bums you out, right?
Of course.
How do you think a player feels, you know, that that's going in within the club, you know, that must...
As a player, it's kind of like a stab in the back, right? Because
yeah, they have
in
nothing.
The end, you're playing for the fans.
Yes, sir. And, right. You know, would that affect your momentum, let's say, going?
Maybe a bit more than just momentum. Maybe a bit morale.
What do you say, like, mental-wise, you know, that comfortness that you have in a club? Because you're having problems within home, you know, like it's an interior, yeah, not an outer problem.
Or I feel like even the whole ESL thing kind of like...
Just burst it, right?
It put a lot of doubt in many players' heads of like with the clubs that they're playing for. With the participating clubs. Like, I think we all saw it on Twitter as to how players that pertain to these clubs that were supposed to join, what I got of the messages were like, I kind of don't want to be here if this happens.
It makes sense, bro. You know what you're saying. It does. You know, it comes and stirs up a lot of feelings that you know you didn't know you had inside. You know, like I feel you. You know, and it sucks. It's sad for what's happening. You know, to football. You know, prestigious tournaments in jeopardy. You know, big time players.
And it's all over greed from two opposite sides, right?
Absolutely.
You have the UEFA and you have the ESL.
But forgetting about the economically wise, bro, yeah. You know, forget the financials and all that problems that's causing. Let's talk about now the beauty of it. What we live for, what we wake up early, you know, buy the jerseys, put on the jerseys, go out and support, you know, look for that
exciting moment.
Play the game.
It's like, you see, we work every day to wait for that one day of the week.
Exactly, bro.
Where we get to enjoy 90 minutes of watching our clubs play.
Exactly, you know. And for me, it sucks because Barcelona let me down.
And we were both on the same page last week thinking it was going to be a walk in the park for them.
I honestly, yeah, that's how it was supposed to be on paper. I mean, okay, so I get to work because they played, it was a Tuesday, right? Yeah, we did.
It was on Tuesday.
We get to I get to work, you know, and my cousin, big Barcelona, you know, like he has tattooed the Barcelona crest on his calf, and then he has Mascon Club on his head, and then he has Messi's name on his ass, bro. No, I'm just kidding.
That's his face.
Nah, but I mean, this guy's big, and you know, he comes and he tells me, like, hoy ganamos la liga, you know, and I was like, all right, yeah, like, you know, I had that with him, but I didn't want to say it, because I'm like, damn, I don't want to jinx it. Then I tell him, gotta remember that Granada was the ones that, you know, had killed us in the back passes, you know, like, in certain games, and Barcelona's known for choking, bro, the opportunities that they get. So I told them, like, straight up, I'm like, you know, let's hope that we don't fuck
it's a
things
50-50.
Up. And he laughs and all like, nah, I don't think so. Because it is true, Granada had seven, bajas, bro. You know, like, they had seven on the injury and missed. So
they weren't even playing with their A club.
Exactly. Game starts 1-0. I'm checking in on my phone and on my work. I'm like, okay, cool. I completely stopped watching it because I'm more like, you know, it's... You know, it's going to be good. You know, Barcelona's got this. Never did I knew that I was going to turn my phone back on and see like minute 80-something to 1.
I text you.
And then you text me and I was like, what the fuck? You know, like, bottling it again, bro. Yep. Bottling it again. You know, I go back. I check the highlights. And Sergi Roberto, bro, that injury, after that injury, he has not been the same. Samuel Umtiti tries, but he's not the same. Having players like Pedri, having players like Sergi Des that could play those positions, having players like Araujo that could play those positions that those people are, and Koeman not taking them in consideration and putting them in crucial games. I know it was Granada, I know this, but it's a crucial game, bro. It was the game for us to go first place and have a difference.
And stay up there.
Exactly. You know, and now it's all gone. My point of view, bro. Barcelona has been coming playing some beautiful football, but Koeman's decisions, bro, on lineup wise, and you know, giving players. I mean, can't hate Sergio Roberto.
So it's a coaching
bro.
Issue.
Exactly, it's a coaching issue, and the board of directors already went and told them if he does not win his last 4 or 5 games,
he's done.
He's done. So for him, every game
counts.
Is a final. Is counted. And what I woke up today reading on my news feed about the club and everything, that Xavi Hernandez is now renewing with Al Sadd. He's now renewing, and his contract ends this in the summer.
So now he's consideration.
And what I heard was that Barcelona had something to do with it because they called them and contacted and told them not to renew. So, you know, that means that Koeman at the end of the season is out.
I don't think he, ever since I saw him come in, I didn't think he was going to be a fit for Barcelona.
See, I did. Because I'm like, okay, they were telling me, oh, he's Coleman coached Netherlands, and I guess he went, was the reason that Netherlands went down, dropped a lot of form, you know, Netherlands, 2010, you know, runners up of the World Cup. After what happened in South Africa. And then, you know, 2004 having a great run and everything, and then after that, just been, you know, dropping. I put that aside, I'm more like, Coleman, you know, he comes from that, Cruyff era, you know, like, he won the first Champions League with Barcelona. He stayed at Cruyff. He knows that institution that got built with that. I'm like, he's going to bring that back to Barcelona. And he hasn't, you know. He hasn't. I don't know if it's because of the pressure that Messi collides with, you know, like the board and stuff. Like, they have to do what Messi says and really doesn't give that much
fear. Build around him.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it was sad. I was sad. And I'm telling you, bro, that
at this point, okay, I want to make this point because we're forgetting another factor here. And that one is that fourth place is coming in pretty hot too, bro.
Sevilla choked today, though. Sevilla choked. See, this is where I'm going, bro. Sevilla, I mean, Atletico Madrid. They lost today.
Was it a legal match?
It was a legal match, bro. They lost today. They lost today against... who the hell played?
Yeah, they did lose.
Yeah, they lost today. And the sad thing is, against Athletic Club, 1-0. And, I mean, they're done, you know. They face... It would have been sick if they would have won.
Because if they would have won, that would have put them right in
the field of Barcelona
and Real Madrid.
Well, that's how it has been.
You get me?
But, yeah. And the thing is that, okay, upcoming weekend, big matches, bro.
I mean, because there's still 5 games left.
But look, listen, everybody's saying, and I'm one of those persons that's saying that in this weekend, se define la Liga. Why? Real Madrid faces Sevilla.
Yes.
And Barcelona face Atletico Madrid. But in my thing is that Madrid wins. Madrid beats Sevilla, right? And if Barcelona beats Atletico, Real Madrid go first place.
Then you guys come up second.
And we come up second. And pretty much after that, I think it's just going to stay like that. And Sevilla just, you know, staying in fourth. They killed it literally today. Because if Sevilla would have won today... And then they would have been motivated and go beat Madrid. They would have popped in into third or into second place. And Barcelona would have gone to first and Atletico dropped to like second or third. You know how it would have mixed? Bunch of like mathematical shit. But Sevilla killed it today. And mark my words, you know, if Barcelona wins and Real wins, Real Madrid are champions of La Liga, which I don't want it to happen, you know.
Yeah.
What do you think though? Like, I mean, do you think Real Madrid deserves to be champions?
I mean, they've been playing good football. They're coming in with a win. But I think, they've shown the form. Even with injuries.
Yeah, true. I mean, their form, after they won the Clásico, it's just been draw after draw after draw. I mean, Benzema keep on scoring. He's so hot. And, you know, they played a hell of... They played good against... I think they played Elche. I'm not sure. And they won. But let's talk about... you know, La Liga is up there. You know, big matches coming up on Saturday and Sunday.
Yes.
But Madrid has a big match coming on Wednesday.
Yeah,
playing
the return match, the second leg up against Chelsea.
Mm-hmm. And
in England, Chelsea's backyard. And once again, I think that goes back as to the week of when they had the Clásico, when they played Liverpool in the second leg.
So they're good at pressure, right? They already proved.
They've been in pressure the last month.
Exactly, and they're showing that.
And they've come through.
They prevailed, right? They come through. They come clutch. Do you think they could outplay Chelsea?
Man, Chelsea is one of the clubs...
In their own turf?
You know. See, bro, Chelsea changed once they got rid of Lampard.
Yeah, you know...
Which sucks to say, because Lampard is a legend in that club.
Yeah,
you know?
But I mean, see, that goes to the saying that, you know, just because...
Great players don't make great coaches. Exactly. Don't always make great coaches, unless you're Zidane. But... or Guardiola. But, yeah, they're just a different club than what they were the first 15 matches.
Is it going to be a great match?
It's going to be a very great match.
It's going to be a juicy match.
I think it's going to be...
exquisite, delicious
match. I think this this Chelsea-Real Madrid game may be the match of the entire finals stage.
A lot of people are saying that the winner of that match is going to be the champions of the league.
I think so, too. I think so, too.
A lot of people are saying that.
Because
I don't want to believe that because
Man City,
Man City, bro. I mean, tomorrow is gonna be a hell of a game.
But Man City is gonna win.
And I'm glad that I have the day off tomorrow. I was sad when they're like, "Hey, bro, you know, like, you're off tomorrow." Got the text from work, but I'm like, I remembered. I'm like,
tomorrow's UCL.
That's why I texted you, and not to do the podcast. I mean, to postpone it, but tomorrow. But I wanted to be like, you know how you've been having your slow days at work too.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you picked up your work again and everything, but I was like, maybe I could tell this guy, let's go out, you know, to a pub or something, watch the game, you know, and enjoy it, and so we could see it, but I guess I'm going to have to do that alone. But it's going to be a hell of a game. Man City, I see them crushing, bro.
I see them, too.
I see them crushing. I'm going to tell you this. Neymar is going to try to motivate them. If Mbappe comes out, like, with the killer form... They have a strong chance. But if they show up with Mbappe, that was the last game, Man City's going to be a walk through the park, bro.
Yeah, bro. But, high chance that we have an English final, though.
Another one. It would be back-to-back. No, not back-to-back. It would be the second one in, like, what? Like, the last three years? Yeah, because we had the Liverpool-Tottenham, and then now...
And now it'd be Chelsea, Man City, the possibility. Yeah, I wouldn't be mad at that because right now both teams in the EPL they're in super strong form.
Yeah, Chelsea they're unstoppable, and you know, I just don't want Madrid to get to a fucking final, bro. I don't, bro. Madrid, especially Champions League, it's their DNA, bro. They don't lose it. And
it's their tournament.
I would hate to yet see them, you know, get another fucking championship. Especially that one, prestige one.
14, right?
Wednesday, I'm rooting Chelsea, you know.
You're going from red or blue?
Yeah. No, I mean, not that.
Not that far out.
I won't put blue on, that's for sure. but I'm gonna be like Chelsea, yeah, you know, go up there. You'll never walk alone, Chelsea. I mean, so far the Premier League has been up there, you know. They had their moments where in championship, in the Champions League, they would drop. You know, they dropped for a couple of seasons, bro. You know, it was the Spanish that were dominating.
They were nowhere to be
in
seen.
Europa and in Champions League. And now you're seeing...
I remember before we had the Real Madrid-Liverpool final, it was always the three clubs that were talked about in the UCL. The highest ones were Atletico, Real, and Barcelona.
Exactly. You know, and it's good to see the Premier League, you know, up there again.
Coming up.
You know, and I hate Real Madrid, but I mean, Chelsea's manager deserves to be up there, you know.
Yeah.
And Pep deserves to be there. Pochettino deserves to be there, bro.
Talking about the EPL, now that we're on that topic, you think it was messed up what Tottenham did to Jose Mourinho? And the way they sacked them the week prior to their final?
It is. I find it, you know, that it's...
It's kind of like a slap to the face, right?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much Mourinho didn't change much in Tottenham because, I mean, Pochettino took them to a Champions League final. you know, didn't win it, but he took them there. And first time ever. Mourinho, I could understand why they sack him. Because Mourinho comes, like, lately he hasn't been the special one, you know, the nickname they gave him, the special one.
With Chelsea.
Yeah, and he hasn't been the same, bro. I mean, he destroys big-name players, you know.
He's destroyed a lot of careers.
Yeah, exactly. And he was, like, I feel like Tottenham Board of Directors were like, okay, we got Harry Kane and we got Son. We don't want that to happen. Those are their weapons, you know. Those are their aces. And it looked like he was starting to do that with Kane, bro, you know. And come on, Kane is a killer. He's a freaking...
Benching and stuff,
you know, like, not benching him, but, like, his tactics that he uses, Kane wasn't applying, you know, wasn't scoring goals and stuff. Like, he's known for scoring.
The way he uses players.
Yeah. And, you know, I saw it coming that he was going to get sacked. But, yeah, like you said, prior, and I think that's, they killed it because Tottenham had a chance to win the only trophy they were going to win, you know, and then they go and lose it.
And they just feel they would have won it if
Jose... Yeah, big time, you know, and I feel like it was stupid. Mourinho, that he deserved to get sacked, yes. Did the team deserve...
But not at that moment,
though. Did the term deserve for that to happen, like, a week prior to the final? No. You know, that was really bad move. Mourinho, you know, could suck a dick for all I care. You know, but... it wasn't right for the team. You know, it wasn't the right move. Mourinho, I think he was... like, I don't feel like he's happy no more coaching. What do you think? The way you see Mourinho, I mean... have you seen some of his interviews? Do you think it was fair what they did to him?
It wasn't fair. It wasn't fair for him nor the club as a whole in general. I don't think it was fair overall. Because, obviously... the fans have hopes, knowing they're in the final. The squad has hopes, and whatnot, you know. And I feel like they did it, bro, in a way to be... I almost feel like they did it on purpose.
A purpose for what? I mean,
to not give Mourinho this win. That makes sense.
But that would be really bad then.
Como envidia.
But why the board of directors would... why would they do that? I mean... you're not only affecting him, you're affecting the whole fan base, and you're affecting your...
I think they already had the plan to sack Mourinho at the end of the season. But I don't think they wanted to have him go with having at least this one trophy.
Oh, I get you. Yeah.
On his back.
In my point of view, I think that's dumb. That's really bad, you know, the board of directors, you know, the way they do things. But, I mean, the fans deserve, if anything, deserve, which fan base doesn't deserve, you know, silverware, right?
Club to lift the trophy.
Yeah, exactly. So, I did not see it in that point of view, and it makes sense, you know. Because he's been doing not that good, and it'd be like he could grab onto that, but I gave him a trophy. Yeah.
And so I think they became, yeah, they became selfish in that way.
How do you see Mourinho, bro? Now that you brought that up, talking about him, like me, I don't see him that he's passionate for
the sport. He doesn't want to be on the sidelines anymore. I feel like that. I mean, the dude's, he has enough money to never have to club. Never have to manage a club
again. Have you seen his interviews? Or, like, look, today go up and look at some of Mourinho's interviews of him losing and, you know, blowing games, blowing leads. Like, this has been happening since he went with Chelsea. And then he made trash Chelsea. Then Manchester United gets him. He made Manchester United. He didn't make it to Manchester United.
He went around with Madrid after Chelsea, didn't he? And then he went to Man United.
No, he came back from... like, because he was at Chelsea, goes to Madrid, comes back to Chelsea.
Then and then he jumps the gun
To Man U. Man U, and then, you know, now he's with Tottenham. And
Tottenham.
I just... like, you could see it that he does not enjoy it no more, you know. And I feel that affects a lot, like, the... He lives
off of... Well, I mean, if you have a leader that doesn't show enthusiasm, then why should I?
I just feel like he's living from his past. I mean, I'm not going to lie. When at his prime, I mean, he took a Porto and won, like, you know, the Champions League with Porto. And then he goes and takes Inter Milan and wins a treble with Inter Milan. Like, you know, a treble is not so simple to accomplish. Champions League, League and League Cup. You know, he is a guy that knows what he's doing, you know. But I just feel like he's just getting over it and stuff. And that affects a lot of, like, the teams. Like, I honestly don't see him going, like, a club that would want him right now. I don't, like, a top tier club. I don't see
small clubs.
Yeah, I don't see.
He's he has like a, he's like the Ancelotti, right?
Yes.
Where Ancelotti had all these big clubs, won La Decima for Real.
Mm-hmm. And I just feel Real did him dirty.
Oh, they did.
I mean, they didn't give him like much of a break, but I mean, it is what it is. But Ancelotti, I still have, like, you could see that Ancelotti enjoys it. You know, it's like, okay, Pep enjoys being out there. Club enjoys being out there, even after defeat, failure after failure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's coaches like Pochettino enjoys being out there. Zidane, you could tell right away he enjoys being out there. But I don't see that with Mourinho, bro. With Mourinho, I just feel like he's just over it. Like, he can't...
It's like he's there because it's his job at this
point. Yeah, exactly. You know, to make money. And yeah, but... in my point of view, it wasn't fair to the fan base to do that and to the club. But he had it coming, you know. He had it coming.
Yeah. It was only a matter of time. I mean, he had a few games. But let's go on to our finals.
Skipping way.
We're going to this side of the pond.
Yes, we're going from.
And we're in playoffs.
Yes.
In Mexico.
Yes, sir. Playoffs in the Liga MX.
Yeah. And obviously the clubs that are going in, no worries with the bye week.
You want to go and tell, like, you know, remind them how the new format...
So the new format basically is that the Liga MX has introduced once again...
And this is where... Sorry to cut you off, but they're doing it like... I'm guessing the American franchises are involving way too much. Because now they're... This is pretty much like how they would... Like the American leagues does it, you know, like the
Wild card
playoff.
Well, Mexico used to have wild card.
But not like this, though.
No, because back then they had the Mexican League had groups, and they had an odd number of groups.
Mm-hmm. And there was
4 clubs, and there'd be 2 matches, and then those 2 winners would, they were the final 2,
mm-hmm.
to the octavos.
Mm-hmm.
Cuartos, I mean. Because only the first place would pass. Something like that.
Yeah.
It's been too long. But now this time, it's the first four, they're clear. They have a bye week like they would in the NFL.
Yeah, exactly.
And then 5th to 12th,
you go to they wild play wild cards. Yeah, exactly.
So you have 4 matches, and then obviously the 4 winners, then... They become positions 5 to 8, whatever.
So
they stay in 5 to 8 depending on the winners and where they stay on the table. And then you have your 1 versus 8, 2 versus 7, mm-hmm. 3 and 6, and 4 and 5.
Greater to least face each Correct. Other, right? So you want to tell me the clubs that qualify straight on to the playoff?
The clubs that have a bye week and are straight to the round of 8. Is first place Cruz Azul with 41 points.
Impressive
for Mexican point standards.
I mean, you get 41 points out of, like, they play 17 matches. 17 times 3, we're talking about
51 points.
They dropped 10 points.
Which that's basically 3 losses and 1 draw.
Exactly, you know, that's impressive.
And Club America, champions maybe. 14 this year.
Solari, please bring that 14.
38 points. Puebla, which I think was a surprise.
Big time.
A surprise.
That's going to be the dark horse.
They're the dark horse for sure, bro.
Damn. Third place Puebla, bro.
And last year, they were in the bottom five.
Last year, pasaron de repechaje, bro.
Yeah.
Beating Monterrey and then getting eliminated
in round of eight.
In the round of eight by León.
And then fourth place, Monterrey, which they had a very bad start to the season. And bro, little by little, they came back.
Exactly. I mean, Vasco Aguirre, you know, well-known Mexican trainer. You know, he directed over there, like, Fue Director Técnico overseas in Spain, you know.
Yes.
He comes back. I expected a lot more from him, to be honest. But, I mean, he got him there. He got... Los Regios.
Yeah, he replaced a very good coach too, El Turco Mohamed.
Yep.
And then the clubs that are gonna play
playoff
wild card,
which starts this week, correct?
Correct. Fifth place, Santos Laguna. Sixth place, León. Seventh place, Atlas. Eighth place, Pachuca. Ninth place, Chivas. Tenth place, Tigres. Toluca, 11th. And Querétaro 12, which Toluca only reason there is because they beat America.
I know. And Pumas lost, dumbasses.
And the harsh part about Toluca, bro, is that the last five games, they've had four losses, and the one win was against America.
Merry Christmas, Toluca.
Exactly, bro. Exactly. You know,
it's going to be hell of games, bro. The most game that I'm interested in watching, definitely, is going to be Pachuca versus Chivas, bro. Chivas have been coming, picking up their game, and Pachuca has been dropping the game a little, but I feel like it's going to be an even match. Hoping Pachuca takes the win, because I would hate to see Chivas in another fucking playoff.
Especially with how bad they've been playing this year.
Exactly. And the other game that I feel is going to be a sick game is going to be Santos versus Querétaro, bro. Mm-hmm. And Toluca absolutely with León. Tigres, I have it. They're going to beat Atlas. They're going to beat Atlas. They have to, you know. Tigres cannot miss out playoff action, you know.
Yeah.
And
Tigres has had a really bad, horrible, bro. If it wasn't because of this format, the first time you don't see them in playoffs, yeah, exactly. I don't know how long.
Oh, man. I think since Tuca took over them back in, like, I think, like, 13, 14, bro.
Yeah.
When they just started picking up their game really sick with Tuca. Speaking about Tuca, I don't know if you've heard, but he's, like, indecisive. He hasn't renewed his contract with Tigres. He might leave. He might stay. You never know. They're thinking about El Piojo coming to replace him.
Oof.
You know, it's some scandal going on there. But, you know, I would like to see Tigres because Tigres is a team to beat. And, you know,
even though they're in bad form, they are the team to beat.
Yeah.
Because of the squad they have.
Imagine the games. Tigres goes through. Chivas go through. Santos goes through. Like, and then facing Monterrey. Imagine having a Monterrey Tigres quarterfinal. Then a Chivas America quarterfinal.
You know, I am happy, though, to see Atlas back in playoffs, though.
You as an Atlas? Yeah.
As then my second team.
It's not playoffs. I would call it postseason. Because playoffs is when you officially made it to
well, for them, there was seventh.
It wouldn't be playoffs. Oh, yeah, it's a playoffs. Yeah, all format. You know,
I'm just glad to see them have this chance once again. You know, because Atlas, once upon a time, they were...
Oh, they were horrible.
They were... before that, they were...
I was contender,
you know, every year.
I mean, creating sick talent that helped a lot La Selección Mexicana, you know. So, most definitely, games are going to be very intense. One question, can you look up really quick for me, bro? I don't know. Is it a two-leg game? First leg, second leg, ida y vuelta?
I think it's only a one
game. It's a one-game finish?
I think, yeah, because see, they only show one game here. Yeah, I think it's a one-off.
Mm-hmm. Damn, it's going to be real fun. You want to tell us the dates you have them there right now?
The dates, yes, I do have them. Let's go with Atlas here.
Tijuana, all right. Yeah. No, who they're playing?
They play...
León. No.
Where the match is at? Oh, they play this Saturday against Tigres at 5 p.m. Yeah, Saturday, May 8th.
Must-see game.
Must-see game, bro. Here, I'll pull up all the matches that we have here. Come on, we just had them right now. Okay, Saturday, We're going to have Atlas Tigres, 5 p.m. And then Santos versus Querétaro at 7:15.
Saturday as well.
Correct. And then for Sunday, the two games that will be displayed will be León Toluca. That was going to be good. And the, I think the match to watch will be Pachuca with Chivas as well.
Yeah. I mean, but they, Pachuca's been playing horrible. And Chivas too. Like, they've just been winning by the very minimum. But, I mean, it's playoffs. You know, it's postseason. It's, you know, you have to, that's where you have to bring, like, your A game. You're 100%.
No more excuses.
Do you see Solari and America, you know, going advancing to semifinals?
Oh, if they don't, it's going to be, it's a, if them or Cruz Azul don't go to semis, it's going to be complete failures.
I have a feeling that Cruz Azul takes it, bro. I mean,
finally after what 20?
I just feel like their fan base deserves it. I feel like that curse needs to be fucking lifted. You know, it's.
I want to see with American Cruz Azul ending in first and second. We had the chance of seeing them in the final.
As a Cruz Azul, if I was a Cruz Azul supporter, that's the last team I would want to face in a final. Last team that I would want to face in a final, or. And like in semis or anything, like if I was Cruz Azul,
well they can't see each other in semis, or oh yeah, the only place they can see each other is the final.
So if I was like a Cruz Azul fan or anything, I would hope for America to stay, you know, in quarterfinals or in semis, you know. But if Cruz Azul and America meet, let's say that does happen, it's an easy win for America, bro. It's an easy win, and I just feel like it's Cruz Azul's time to shine. Their fan base deserves it. You know, they put up failure after failure for like, what, almost 20 plus years?
Last year was the worst.
how the hell do you go?
If there's a high chance of seeing a game that 99% was rigged, it was that semifinal last year.
Bro, man. How the hell? Like, it's still, to me, I can't process it. Let me tell you. They go...
Let's start off with the first and most...
The first game, bro. Okay. Minute 13. They're winning 3-0.
Yeah.
And the semi-final, you know. Mm-hmm. They're beating Pumas, bro. The Pumas. You know, Pumas hasn't been hot and shit. So, 3-0. First, like, 13, 14 minutes. They make it 4-0. What the fuck happens when you go to El Universitario?
What happened? See... first thing, bro, when I saw that JJ Corona wasn't even on the formation.
You're gonna tell me all the details of the match, but I'm gonna just tell like our listeners, and I'm gonna tell you.
Yeah.
They go into that game, they could have lost 1-0. Mm-hmm. They could have drawn 0-0. They could have lost 1-0. They could have lost 2-0.
But no, they lost.
They could have lost 3-0. And, you know,
they still will go to the final. Still,
the only score that could completely leave them out was a 4-0. 4-0. And what happens?
4-0.
But tell me why, bro. What was your, you know?
Well, it's a completely thrown game, bro. I don't think there's any other word for it. And
I do. I don't think that it's a thrown game.
What is it?
I think they're...
Think it was confidence?
No, their mentality. I feel like...
Are they really just cursed?
No. I feel like... They're like... They're thinking like it's cursed, maldición, and everything like gets to the players. Another series that I'm going to tell you to watch. I bet you haven't seen Club de Cuervos.
I heard it's really good.
It's a hell of a series based on Mexican soccer. And Club de Cuervos bring in that esa they call a pluma negra, that every time that the club would make it to a final or something, like something bad would happen to the team, like a player would die, a player would get injured, like severe injury, you know, stuff like that. And that's why they would never win a championship or lose championship games and stuff like that. That's how I feel like it's happening to Cruz Azul, you know. It's all in their minds. Like, how do you go, bro? Like, it can't be rigged. Like, it just can't be rigged, you know. I do not see it as rigged, because that would be like, it's a slap to the face to football, to their fan base. You know, you're right. Corona didn't play. But Hurtado is a sick ass young goalkeeper.
Yeah, but like 3 of the 4 goals, they were keeper balls.
Okay, 3 of the 4 goals. What happened to the fourth one? Where's his defense? Where's the offense? You know, all they had to do was just shut them up with one goal. That's it. That one goal would have counted as 2. They would have been winning 6-0.
Because it would have been
forcing Pumas to win by 7. You know, I swear, like, you can't just blame it on the goalkeeper.
I blame it on coaching.
Statistically, I just blame it that their mentality is.
Well, it's like the whole thing. It affects where soccer is 90% mental and 10%.
Do you think they do good?
Who?
Cruz Azul?
This season?
Well, yeah, I mean, in postseason. Keep in mind that they have this maldición that they could never win shit, right? That they choke.
They're going to choke
and again. Now they have other, like, another maldición, la maldición del super líder.
I was about to say that. They're in first place.
You know, like, before
the last final they had, they went in a super líder is 2.
Did they? Was it a... Then was the last final they went to was with America?
Yes. Yeah. They super
That's what I'm telling you. That's once they already lost 2 finals to America. They do not want to go in and face America in another final.
Yes, hell, third time is a charm. Bro, but
if it's right now to kill everything, get momentum, and you know, revive to beat Cruz Azul what it is, it's this season, bro. First place, 41 points. They couldn't break the record who holds the most points. Guess who it is?
America.
Yep, 43 points. They couldn't break it. They had it. They could have tied it, but not. They didn't. They're, you know, 41 points, only losing 2 games, playing hell of amazing football with the new técnico, you know, going on a, like a 16 winning, like
undefeated,
and then like 14 wins, you know, like.
They only lost 1 match the entire season.
It's right now, bro. It's right now. It's, if anything, to be, okay, first place. Win the championship, you know, give that to the fans base. But, I mean, for me, it's not rigged or anything. It's all mentality, bro. And I'm going to leave it as that. Mentality.
Yeah, so, all right, let's who do you see qualifying from Atlas Tigres?
Bro, I'm going to break your heart.
Tigres?
I'm going to say Tigres, bro. I'm going to go with Tigres. Who do you have?
That one, I say... I'm going to say Atlas just because of the bad season that Tigres have been having.
But it's playoffs.
Yeah. Anything still carrying that momentum already, though.
Anything could happen in playoffs.
Santos, Querétaro.
I would go with Santos, bro.
Same here, Santos.
Santos.
León Toluca, that's a tough match. But I say León.
I would say León, too. Only because they're going to tie, but... Mexicans have the stupid rule that who's in better position passes.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then Pachuca, Guadalajara, well, just because we...
Hey, I would never say Chivas. Fuck no. Pachuca. Even talking like if they're like the super Chivas, but hell no. Fuck Chivas. Pachuca's going to win.
They were never super.
But, yeah, true. They were not.
But that's it, bro. Let's see where that goes and... anything else you want to talk on before we close it up?
You have any announcements? Anything you want to talk? Maybe give a what we might talk about in our next podcast. If you want to do anything special. I think we just, you know, our listeners deserve for us to do something special. Bring in someone that, you know, could really, like, give us that, like, you know, rivalry or something.
Your little brother-in-law.
Nah, bro. That's the way. No, like he's. I'm shy.
Oh, he's one of those. My God.
Yeah, but we should look into it. You know, to give our listeners something to enjoy and stuff.
Yeah, we definitely gotta bring someone on here.
All right, so
talk with us.
Thank you so much. You know, and once again, I apologize for Alice.
My screw up.
Uploading the episode twice.
I uploaded the correct one already. Yeah. The good thing is I caught it.
So pretty much you guys get like a nice treat. You get back to
2 episodes.
2 episodes in a week.
That was so embarrassing. So bad.
Oh yeah. So thank you so much. Like always, you know, showing us love. We're here you know, to talk football and enjoy the beautiful game. This has been your boy Santiago with the main man, Alan Serna.
Yes, yes, yes. And with that,
we out.
We're out, and talk to all of you next week.